You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the third and final hour this Saturday evening, October the 22nd. Keith Alexander back with me now. We are not together tonight. We will be back in the studio together next week. And what a week that will be. Let's take a momentary pause to make a couple of announcements. Next week will be our 18th anniversary show. Yes, indeed, folks. Between tonight and next Saturday, we will celebrate the day that TPC first officially took microphone in hand. That was, of course, October the 26th, 2004. So next week will not only be our annual anniversary broadcast, where we bring on different guests and different members of the audience and different representatives to talk about TPC history. We'll be doing that. But it's also our annual Halloween show, so we'll have some of that fun novelty music on top of the celebration of 18 years on the air, which every year we make it a year further on down the line is a cause for a bigger and bigger celebration, because not a lot of people have been around for 18 years in this movement, I can tell you. So next week is going to be our anniversary show and Halloween broadcast, and that really ushers in a festive time of the year for TPC. And what I mean by that is, from the annual anniversary show all the way through New Year's, we just really sort of, we're still talking with important people about the biggest issues of the day, but there is a little bit more of a relaxed feel on the broadcast from late October through the first broadcast of the new year. Obviously, the Christmas season is so very special to us here on this program, and we always have such a good time with our audience during the month of December. So, yeah, that really, this festive time of year on TPC, it will really begin, it always does, with our anniversary broadcast all the way through the holiday season. And then it begins anew. And we really have gotten into, over the course of nearly two decades, a very nice rhythm, a very nice flow, the ebbs and the flows of our broadcasting calendar with, again, March Around the World and Confederate History Month, and, you know, some different things we do seasonally and annually throughout the year. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the show next week. That's going to be a fun show, and it's going to really usher in a fun time of year on this broadcast. Keith, are you ready for 18 years on the air? Can you believe we made it another year?
I tell you what, it's onward and upward as far as I'm concerned. I think it's getting better with each passing year.
I do too. I don't know if it's, I say that every year. And I just think with each year, with each passing year, you sharpen your tools a little bit more, and you just refine the craft. And I look back on the people we've had on this year, a lot of first-time guests, obviously a lot of program mainstays as well. But I really like the flow that we have from January through December. But I really like what the time of year we're coming up on, and it's going to make for, I think, even more fun listening for the audience. But, yes, I'm looking forward to being back with you, my friend, in the studio next week as we get to that anniversary show, which is always, you know, it's one of those shows you circle on the calendar every year, or at least I do. And we'll have some fun with it. I'm going to put some thought into it and see what we can do to make it special for 18
years. You know,
years
we're kind of
week.
Like farmers. We've planted some seeds that are beginning to sprout. Things we were talking about 15 years ago are now being adopted as talking points by the mainstream and by the Republican Party. So, Tommy Tuberville's latest comment that has caused a kerfuffle, and, things about secession, things about affirmative action being a bad thing, things like this, things that the mainstream wouldn't touch with a vaccinated crowbar in the past are now main talking points. And I think we should take at least a little bit of the credit for that, don't you?
I believe I don't see how you couldn't. As much media as this program has generated over the years, I don't take media interviews anymore. If you wonder why you haven't seen us in the news much, it's because we don't grant the interviews and haven't for many years. I was actually talking with Tim Murdoch about the thought process behind that on an appearance I made on his program this week over there at White Rabbit Radio.
I was listening to Brother Nathaniel, one of his little vignettes that he does, you know, which are priceless, you know, less than 10 minutes, everybody can tune in. Well, he used the expression a coon's age. I wonder where he got that, James.
Nah, you probably said it last week when he was on. Well, anyway, hey, just one thing we were talking about before we came back this hour was the eye-rolling episode of Mike Pence. I'll tell you, Mike Pence really reverted back to form after he got out from the agency of Donald Trump. And by reverting back to form, I mean a spineless cuck.
Yeah, he's not worth sixpence. Mike Pence isn't. And he, I tell you what, and what was he rolling his eyes about or sighing about? He was sighing about the fact that Kevin McCarthy, you know, the head of the Republican Congressional Caucus, said that if the Republicans gain control of the Congress, the House of Representatives, in this upcoming election, they're going to take a sharp look at any request for additional funding. And, you know, Mike Pence, Mark Levin, all these people, you know, they're typical neocons. Invade the world and invite the world to America. And any, you know, if you're not just willing to empty your wallet for foreign wars that really do not benefit the people of the United States by a sixpence, no pun intended, then you are somehow a cowardly person, or you're betraying America's heritage or its legacy. This idea that we're supposed to be the world's policeman or the world's enforcer, the combination between Superman and Mighty Mouse coming to the rescue of every you know, nation in the world, is not what our nation was founded on. This is exactly the opposite of what George Washington stood for example. And, you know, really, it never
occurred to Mike Pence, though, that that might have been George Washington's position on foreign policy.
Well, he would probably denounce George Washington. He's that far sold out. But if you notice that both the Republicans and the Democrats are interventionists now. It used to be that the Democrats were the peace and love people, you know, give peace a chance, remember, with John Lennon and all this type of stuff, and they were anti-war in Vietnam. Well, they've totally abandoned that, and they are now the interventionist party. Neocons, that's what they live for. You know, they got alarmed when Ronald Reagan got elected president. They said, well,
all of that's
like
true.
It's becoming a thing.
We've got to take a quick break. All of that's true, although you do have more sprinkled within the Republican Congress than you do on the other side. Paul Gozer, Marjorie Taylor Greene, people like that. But we'll be right back.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. CallForCivility.com.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2,000mules.com. 2,000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Back again we are, and one more announcement talking about the festive time of year we're about to enter into here on TPC. If you want to join a true festival next week, next Saturday, same day that we will be celebrating 18 years on the air with our annual anniversary broadcast, our friends at Dixie Republic are having their now annual Fall for Dixie Southern Celebration. Now, Dixie Republic, of course, up there in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, in the South Carolina upcountry, not very far from Greenville, South Carolina. Beautiful area. It has become my home away from home over the course of the last couple of years. We've been there about a half a dozen times, near that anyway. And next week, they're going to have another one of their famous celebrations, the Fall for Dixie Fest, next Saturday. It's an all-day thing. It goes until 8 o'clock. They're going to have bands from 1 until 4, and then again an afternoon evening set from 5 until 8. Halloween costumes are encouraged, kids, at Dixie Republic. That's at 1315 Highway 25 North in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. There's going to be music, food trucks, games. There's going to be a bonfire, axe throwing. If you've never been to one of Dixie Republic's festivals, you're missing it. If you are in or near, anywhere around the upcountry of South Carolina, get yourself next Saturday. Take the family, take the kids. It's a family-friendly event. I promise you they'll have fun, and not just walking around the beautifully and tastefully appointed world's largest Confederate merchandising store, but lots of activities, culture and heritage, people, land, it all comes together at Dixie Republic. So it's an all-day carnival-like event, and you will have fun. I promise you, I always do when I'm there, and you can go to DixieRepublic.com. You hear the ads here on this program. Dixie Republic fans, F-A-N-S, DixieRepublicFans@gmail.com, DixieRepublicFans@gmail.com. You want more information about their Southern Celebration, Fall for Dixie, next Saturday, all day, at Dixie Republic, October the 29th. So that said, Keith, let's go back to Mike Pence. And this is something, Brad Griffin was writing about this, I think. This is something where Christian voters have really improved themselves on. Typically, they would rather be a loser like Mike Pence. They would rather lose on principle than win otherwise. Whereas, of course, the left never hogties themselves into such a conundrum. And that's something with Trump. I think they said, yes, okay, well, he doesn't say and do and stand for everything we might want as evangelicals or whatever. But we're going to vote for a guy that can take us somewhere. And that he did with regards to the evangelical community, no bigger issue to them than the pro-life issue. And Trump delivered them a victory that nobody else would have. So I think most Christian voters, and they're opposed to back this up, data back this up, they're getting away from the beautiful loser The type of mindset that Sam Francis wrote about and backing winners. But Pence, on the other hand, is the old school type. And, well, here he is now, of course, rolling his eyes at the thought that we might cut funding to the Jewish puppet Zelensky in Ukraine. Keith, to you.
Well, Mike Pence was chosen by Trump as his vice president because he was trying to attract evangelicals, and it worked. But he is a typical neocon slash true con from the and his day is past. He's the type of, you know, guy that makes Lawrence Welk look like some heavy metal band or something. You know, he's, you know, Mr. Casper Melktoast, but he certainly does toe the party line when it comes to, you know, these colors don't run, remember, all that type of stuff, that you know, silliness that Republican Party stood for under George W. Bush and whatnot. Well, you know, he is in the past, and he and people like Paul, he appeared with Paul Ryan, and they apparently think that they're going to get one of their own back in as the presidential nominee for the Republicans. I don't think so. I think
that's the thing. You hit the nail on the head and driving it straight, as you like to say, Keith. The true cons, their day is done. I think the last one may be Mitt Romney that's still in there, but all of the true cons, Ben Sasse, Mike Pence, Paul Ryan, the true cons are over, and the Republican Party is morphing into, particularly on a base level, more nationalist type American
and populist
candidates.
Yeah, more populist. See, somebody like Mitt Romney is a perfect country club Republican reincarnated. You know, he may as well be Nelson Rockefeller. He is an elitist, and the populist base, which they started to get when after the Civil Rights Movement, white Southerners had no other place to go, and they started filtering into the Republican Party. Like my father said, that he didn't leave the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party left him. Well, that's what started the drive towards populism in the Republican Party, and now it looks like it's becoming permanent. And the reason that I've you know, done a lot of considering about whether we should support DeSantis or Trump, and I've concluded that it's Trump, and the reason is not because of what Trump is so much as it is the reaction he elicits from the left and from the Democrats. I mean, he drives them utterly crazy, and that's what we need. We need them to be driven crazy. We need them to be driven so crazy that they want to secede from the union. And if they do, we'll tell them, don't let the door hit you in the ass when you go. but see, that's what we need. We need to keep going in this direction. They're saying Trump just can't win. Well, the only reason he couldn't win is if they successfully prosecute him and the Supreme Court doesn't reverse the conviction. They're setting him up for a conviction. You know, forum shopping reigns supreme. It has since the Civil Rights Movement, as far as the Democratic Party. And they're going to try to get him convicted under the Espionage Act, which has a provision in it that says that if you're convicted under it, you can't hold any federal job in the future, and that would include being president of the United States. So that's what they're trying to do. I tell you something that's interesting to me. Who do you think would be the best person to be Trump's vice president? My thought
right now is
that
you're going to say Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, exactly. Because one, she doesn't have a job now; she's unemployed. Two, she's got a lot of charisma. I really don't want DeSantis to get in there, not because I have anything against DeSantis, although I do. I've heard all the mutterings about he's being groomed by the neocons and whatnot, and some of that may be true, but it's more valuable where he is. I don't want him to become the new Jeff Sessions, where he gets in there and he's given up all institutional power, because the vice president, let's face it, has very little institutional political power, and it would be
you know what there is something to
like
your logic. It's something to your logic here. You know, you're right. There's a lot of people that could do the job of a loyal lieutenant in the vice president's seat, but DeSantis is important in Florida. I like him
and
as the governor
like
of Florida.
Just like Jeff Sessions would have been much more valuable to our movement if he had stayed as a senator in Alabama.
You would have never had Doug Jones. You would have never had that whole BS rape accusation with Roy Moore and Doug Jones in there. That's right. That's exactly right. And so DeSantis can stay there as governor of Florida. And, you know, the interesting thing about Tulsi Gabbard is not just that she made this declaration that she has left the Democratic Party and that she is now self-declared independent. You know, she's saying things like anti-white now. We've been talking about that. You know, add her to the list of prominent politicians, either current or former, that are using the phrase anti-white now in her public remarks. But just right after she left the Democratic Party, she went on the campaign trail for Blake Masters, who amongst the Republican candidates is, you know, probably closer to our ideas than most. And that's the one that she went to. She's down in Arizona with Blake Masters on the campaign trail. So that's interesting. That's interesting. She didn't just leave the Democratic Party for the reason she stated. She went to work for lack of a better term, the right.
Well,
interesting. It's interesting.
You know, yeah, she's got her own podcast now, too. She's beloved by the Russians. They call her our girlfriend. She's loved in Europe. I think with George Maloney and her meeting. See, they could send her out.
Got to take a quick break. I want to talk more about this. We got to take a quick break, though.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Existing home sales are hitting a low not seen in a decade. The National Association of Realtors says sales have fallen 8 months in a row. The ongoing drop comes as mortgage rates price many out of the market. President Biden is in Pittsburgh on Thursday to give a speech on infrastructure. Biden will revisit the Fern Hollow Bridge, which collapsed in January when he was in town. He'll also appear at a fundraising event for Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman's U.S. Senate campaign in Philadelphia Thursday night. UK Prime Minister Liz Truss resigns after 6 weeks in office.
United Kingdom Prime Minister Liz Truss announced on Thursday she is going to resign and step away from the job she recently took.
I recognize, though, given the situation, I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected by the Conservative Party. I have therefore spoken to His Majesty the King to notify him that I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party.
Her new finance minister reversed almost all of her planned tax cuts. Truss claims she cannot deliver the mandate on which she was elected. It will take about a week to elect her replacement. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
The president is selling more oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve as a way to lower gas prices ahead of the midterm elections. Texas Republican Congressman Michael McCaul says that's not okay.
He's playing politics with this national security asset that we have.
High gas prices have been a thorn in the side of the Biden administration for much of the year. President Biden has depleted the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to its lowest level since the 1980s, and gas prices are still close to $1.50 a gallon, more than when he took office. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-568-2790. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-568-2790. That's 800-568-2790. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-568-2790.
All right. Well, okay, before I transition, let's do continue on a little bit more about Tulsi Gabbard. Anything else you got in the tank on her, Keith?
Yeah, I think that she would be the perfect vice president, which is basically a ceremonial role. She could go over to Europe, to Russia. She could broker a peace deal. She'd charm the socks off of everybody, but she's not just a charmer. She has real substance to her outlook, particularly on foreign policy. And I think that would be an ideal role for her, and it would also possibly, you know, it might serve any ambition she has of eventually running for president. But, you know, I would hate to see DeSantis give up a position in which basically Trump could learn a lot from him, because DeSantis is much more savvy than Trump was about how to use governmental power. Trump had good ideas, but he didn't know how to turn that into effective governmental policy. He was, candidate Trump was far superior to President Trump. And on the other hand, DeSantis has basically outpaced Greg Abbott. Greg Abbott has sent more people away from the border, but DeSantis does the provocative things that get all the headlines and also drive the Democrats crazy up there in places like Martha's Vineyard.
Okay, what about from one female Politico to another, Liz Truss gone after 44 days as Prime Minister of the UK, shortest term ever, and even the non-whites she put into high office deserted her. So that's a big free fall there and a big opportunity for somebody. I really don't know. This just happened a couple of days ago. I don't have as much information on this as I would like. If I'd have thought better of it, would have sent Adrian Davis an email and at least gotten a dispatch from him in time for the program, if not put on someone from the UK to talk about it tonight, although I don't know exactly how big of a deal it is. She'll be replaced with someone who equally won't do anything for white people, but in any event, it is interesting.
Well, she wanted to be Margaret Thatcher reincarnated, I think, and she also belongs to that kind of TruCon tradition that, you know, everything will be right if we can just adjust the tax rate properly and get and send more money into the pocketbooks of the business elite. That's not working. It's not working over here anymore. It's not going to work over there. It's not going to work anywhere in Europe. Europe is looking at cataclysmic change politically if this winter is as bad as it could be, and if the energy prices skyrocket the way that people are predicting, and or there's no power or energy to be had at any price over there. I can see regime change in France, in Germany. There's a lot of what you call, demonstrations, populist-style demonstrations against the government and its energy policy in both France and Germany and elsewhere in Europe. And it's, you know, I really think that it's, the times they are changing, as Bob Dylan said. And I think that this whole misadventure regarding the Ukrainian war is going to become more and more apparent to Western Europe as winter settles in.
Yes. So that's the question. You know, how bad is the winter going to be? We've had several guests on now going back to earlier this month with Nick Griffin, who said he thinks that, you know, conditions are ripe, as you just said, for governments to fall. Sasha Rossmuller, not entirely sure of that. He was our guest during the first hour tonight, that it'll go that far that quickly. But the no doubt about it, people are going to be pinched more than they were in recent years.
Well, they talk about pocketbook issues, but, you know, what is a bigger pocketbook issue than my children and my family are freezing to death. Okay, well, that's pocketbook issues on steroids, and if that doesn't stir up the electorate, nothing will.
Well, you know, at the same time, no, that's right, and I've been saying the same things too. I don't think it's going to get that dire, at least not this year. They are going to have to pay an arm and a leg to stay warm, but there are other ways to heat yourselves, I guess.
Going to make Greta Thunberg and climate change alarmists, an object of great vituperation and hatred from the masses.
There you go.
That's right. The reason they're in that situation is because of this abandonment of fossil fuels. We can't bail them out because Joe Biden basically has done the same thing to us. He's tried to put a damper on any production of fossil fuels and the use of fossil fuels for our energy needs. And, you know, we're just not ready for that. We'll know when we're ready for green energy, when green energy is as abundant and even cheaper than fossil fuels, then we can do it. Until then, forget about it. You know, we need our energy and we need it now.
Well, this is the thing. I don't see necessarily Europe just totally turning itself on its head as a result of this. But, and of course, Europeans have been able to warm themselves for thousands of years before the advent of the heat as we know it today. But it is going to ratchet up the political stress level even more, and it is going to put one hell of a pinch on people. And even here in the United States, you were just talking about, and it'll be interesting to see. I mean, all we can do, I think it is going to be interesting. I think it's going to be very interesting to see what the political landscape is in Europe come springtime. But even here in the United States, you talked about Biden capping our resources here.
We're not in a position to really help them out. We could totally bail them out if we had that Keystone Pipeline.
Well, here, because of that, though, I mean, we've talked about the increase in gas and prices and in food prices, but I was reading an article just this week that even here in America, the cost for natural gas, which is the means by which most Americans heat their homes, is set to go up by 28% this winter. 28% is pretty stout. It's a drop in the bucket to the hike that they're seeing in Europe, which is well over 100% in some places. But 28%, you're going to feel that. You're going to feel that, especially when coupled with gas being at least twice the price as it was a year or two ago, and groceries being about twice the price now. 28% right around Christmas time when you're trying to cobble together presents for the kiddies, that's going to cause some unrest here.
Well, you know, I'm kind of glad that Keystone isn't operational now, because I want that petroleum and fossil fuels being used for the benefit of Americans, not for the benefit of Europe and everything else as some type of adjunct to our interventionist foreign policy. We need to get away from the interventionist foreign policy. And quite frankly, when the Europeans find out that they can't rely on Uncle Sam to bail them out, that's liable to do more towards ending NATO than anything else. And we really don't need NATO anymore. NATO is just an accident waiting for a time to happen, because it's waiting for a nuclear war to be for us to be sucked into one of these things, because you know somebody invades Estonia or something like this, or outer Slavovia or something, and we don't need it. Trump indicated that he was very lukewarm towards the idea of NATO. You see that even in this emergency situation, the European members of NATO are certainly sitting on their wallets and not sending money. We're sending almost all the money to Ukraine. Of course, being the world's reserve currency, all we have to do is print it up. But, all of this stuff, Humpty Dumpty is about to have a big fall, I have the feeling. You know, with all these things, all these factors converging at the same time, I can see a total restructuring of our foreign policy and Europe's willingness to go along with NATO, and also the willingness of Americans to fund a bunch of freeloading European NATO members.
Well, there's never a guarantee under any circumstances that positive change is going to come as a result of it, but conditions are certainly much more favorable for change when you're in a time of great economic distress, or when you're in a time that it's hard to keep food on the table, or fire in the wood in the fireplace and things like that, so to speak.
Well,
so
the thing is,
yes,
it's just totally manufactured by these stupid governmental green policies. There wouldn't be a problem with, you know, utilities and with fossil fuels and with petroleum-based energy or fossil fuel energy were it not for these stupid, incredibly obtuse climate change initiatives that have been embraced by all the liberals. And again, it's another good consequence of this, it's going to put liberals further in disrepute with the average citizen of the of
these
nations.
Let's hope so. We'll take our last break of the night. We'll be back with Keith Alexander the Great next.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power, Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day, end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, AmericaFirst.com.
Back for one final segment tonight here, another great night on TPC with two great guests. I hope you enjoyed them, spending a little time in Europe tonight and hearing a little bit about a man who was just there for 2 weeks in the Balkan states. But after tonight, as we said at the top of this hour, we'll be entering into the most festive time of the year on TPC, beginning with our anniversary show next week, our annual anniversary show, going all the way through the Christmas season. That's when we really turn up the great festivities, and a lot of fun coming up the remainder of 2022 here on TPC. And if the Lord wills it and your support holds out, folks, and it's always been close, we will continue on into another year in just a few months. But we've got a lot of great radio to get to before that, and a lot to do, a lot of work to be done here. We are not mailing it in by any stretch, but we do have a little more fun these last few months of the year, as people tend to do, generally. Don't forget, though, next week at Dixie Republic, October the 29th, it's the Fall for Dixie Fest, the Fall for Dixie Southern Celebration. all-day long carnival-like atmosphere with food trucks.
When are you
going to
get a vacation
bands.
Home out there, James?
I need to. I took a little brochure for real estate there. You know, unfortunately, they're not giving it away for free, so that pretty much prices me out. But games, bonfire, axe throwing, and you can see the General Lee car, the actual car that General Lee drove during the war. You're going to love it. And that's all at Dixie Republic. No, it's the General Lee car from the Dukes of Hazzard, a replica anyway. But it's still going to look good. Going to have that Confederate flag on top. I can guarantee you that. Halloween costumes are
that's
encouraged.
Our version of the Washington Monument.
That's right. Halloween costumes are encouraged for the kids. All that and more. If you need the address, just go to DixieRepublic.com. You want to ask a question. Dixie Republic fans. F-A-N-S, Dixie Republic fans, at gmail.com, the fall for Dixie Fest next Saturday there in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, our home away from home. Okay, Keith, let's talk a little bit. You know, this is football season, not that we get into that too much. I know you like to go down and apply some of that social lubricant there at the Ole Miss games from time to time, but a little bit of an interesting political slash football related story. You mentioned his name earlier. That's Tommy Tuberville. What is, you know, this was interesting. What you're about to share with the audience is quite interesting coming from Tommy Tuberville, considering the fact that he was an SEC coach for two different SEC schools, and he always came across as a big fat cuck when it came to race. But now I don't know what's going on. Is he being his true self? What's happening here with Tommy Tuberville?
I think he is. He's made comments at a Trump rally out in Nevada saying that black criminality is out of control and that blacks apparently think that they're entitled to commit crime as a species of reparations, commit crime and not be punished for it. And he said he called BS on that and whatnot. And, of course, the New York Times, the Atlantic, Vanity Fair, all these left-wing publications and whatnot have gone into full-throated, dog pack or wolf pack mode going after him. Now, like you said, it's strange since he was the coach at Ole Miss in the 90s, or at least for the middle part of the 90s, said he would never leave under any circumstances. And the next day after he said that, he announced he was complaining that the Confederate flag and Dixie and whatnot hampered him in his recruiting efforts, and basically he was just trying to make an excuse for underperforming. He didn't have Dixie or the Confederate flag to deal with at Auburn or at Cincinnati, the University of Cincinnati, but he got run out of both of those places because he didn't win enough. But I think he is on a Division I football coach and has to kiss black ass to get recruits and whatnot. The true Tommy Tuberville is coming out. And, you know, bully for him. You know, he came after Jeff Sessions was enticed out of his position as senator from Alabama. And then you had a Democrat in there. You had Roy Moore and all that stuff going on. And finally, Tuberville won. And I predicted he would be a typical Chamber of Commerce Republican, but maybe he's growing into a more populist version of himself.
Well, that's certainly interesting. I didn't think very much of him. I certainly wasn't in favor of him winning that race. I believe that was another one that Roy Moore may have campaigned on. I forget all of the Roy Moore races. I know Moore had ran against Doug Jones at one time. But in any event, I guess you could certainly find worse than Tuberville so far, right? I mean, in current
practice.
Well,
the thing is, you know, we've been
all right, you're breaking up a little bit. You're breaking up. You're going to have to go out to the veranda.
Well, I am. I'm out here anyway. But let me just say this. We've been disappointed many times by how wing candidates are, and this is before we got to know who they really were. It's time for us to be pleasantly surprised, and I'm all set to be pleasantly surprised at Tom. I hope he gets on the populist bandwagon and rides it till the wheels fall off.
Do you think, you know, we've been monitoring these I hate to use that word monitoring. That's what Donald Trump would always say when something bad would happen. He would monitor the situation. So let's not call it that. We have been tracking. We have been watching. We have been witnessing this gradual, steady, slowly but surely shift to the right amongst the Republican base. Does that continue into the next year, 2 years, on into the future? And if it does continue at the pace at which it has been progressing over the course of the last 2 years, they're going to catch up and pass us on some of these things. I mean, now even the Jewish question is in play, thanks to recent happenings on that front, obviously Kanye West. So do you think the Republican base is going to continue to move and that you're going to continue to have more elected officials? We talked about the end of the era for the true cons, and that's true no matter who's going to get elected. They're not coming back. You may have more traditionalist neocons, but I doubt that too. I mean, on the levels of the House and downward, I think you're getting more Trumpian type people, which is fundamentally a good thing. You think this continues on over the next at least foreseeable near future?
Well, I can say this: if Republican Party doesn't do that, they're passing up a wonderful opportunity. Look at the reaction that Tubber comments got in that. He brought the House down with those comments.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing. The Republican base, you see these audiences, the more Trump, and he didn't even mention whites until after he was out of office, but when he mentions it now, you talk about Tuberville, when they throw the reddest of the red meat out there, it just turns the crowd rabid. And that is a great thing. That's what you want to see. And they're still not near where they need to be.
The J word, it is a net positive for them. And that's why there's some momentum behind the Republicans coming into this midterm election.
And
getting the same old pablum. They're getting some straight talk from, and they appreciate it.
Here's the thing. I'm trying to count this thing out. So we're 7, 8, 9, 10. What are we, 10 days out from the election? Can that be?
Right.
It's election day. Is it the first
Tuesday?
You vote
earlier, you vote on election day. I'm going to vote on election day, but I can't. You know,
I've never not voted on election day. I've never voted early. No, okay, so it's typically the first Tuesday in November, but for whatever reason, it's the second Tuesday in November this year. I guess anything goes, but it's November the 8th. So, okay, we've still got 2 weeks.
Well, if you have any doubt about what date it is, vote early.
All right, so it's always the first Tuesday in November, except for this year it's the second Tuesday in November, so it's going to be Tuesday, November the 8th. So, hey, that's another thing. Even people in our own ranks are saying they typically sit out the midterms. They typically don't vote for the lesser of two evils. But the Republicans have given, at least on some levels, listen, I am not cheerleading the GOP, God knows. But there are actual reasons to vote. You don't want the Democrats having a filibuster-proof supermajority in Congress. I promise you that, because then you're getting 25 Supreme Court justices. You're getting your worst nightmare.
You're getting federal election law. See, what's going to happen is that, you know, people are beginning to feel that they've got some power and that there is some responsiveness in the Republican Party to the populist impulses of its base. And that is the key to the growth of the Republican Party and their gaining control of the federal government.
All right, Keith, you're breaking up real bad. I might have to go back and start plugging Dixie Republic again. We got about a minute to go.
Okay. Well, Dixie Republic, that they are populist in their instincts, and that is one of the hotbeds, you know. Part of America dressed in South Carolina. And I know all the people there. You know, you've told me about how wonderful it is there. I need to get out there myself sometime.
Got to do it. You got to do it. Everybody's got to do it. So why don't you do it? Make plans to do it next weekend if you can, folks.
Well, get a U-Haul and put it behind your car and put me in the ride out there with you.
And then next week, Keith and I will be in studio to do the 18-year anniversary show. I told somebody, people sometimes ask me, well, what do you got planned for this night, and it'll be 2 or 3 weeks out. I can't think about any show except the current show. And as soon as we wrap up a broadcast, I immediately begin to visualize and conceptualize and put pen
You're
to
like
paper,
one of these guys who used to be on Ted Mack's Amateur Hour that's spinning plates and picking up chairs and everything. You had a very busy family life here recently.
always a season of life. But I'll tell you what, in about 2 minutes, I'm going to start planning out that anniversary show. I don't know exactly what we'll do. I just know it'll be fun. And we will put some ideas together and talk to you then. For Keith Alexander and our great guest tonight, I will see you, talk to you next week, everybody. Good night. God bless. And God save the South.